You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. The time is exactly 5 minutes past 10. It is Tuesday, the 9th of February. You're listening to Viewpoint on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain with me, Giles Brown. With you live until 12 o'clock. We'll be doing all the usual bits and pieces. It's been a while, obviously, since I've been back in the hot seat for Viewpoints. Yes, I've missed you all. Quite a lot been going on since we last met on Viewpoint. Of course, we have a new president of the US. New facts and figures out as well. The coronavirus and vaccines. Would love to hear your thoughts on these or any other matters. On today's show, going to be speaking with Alf Brewer, and also after 11 o'clock going live to the UK and chatting with Rex Leyland as well. I'm joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo, socially distanced and masked up, of course. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. If you wish to get involved with the show for this or anything else, it is which is crossing your radar, if you like, on a Viewpoint. Let's have a look at what's making the front pages in the UK. The front pages in the UK and further afield as well. Flicking through the broadsheets, call to tighten borders, and the Prime Minister puts faith in the Oxford jab. Those are the headlines in the UK. Let's see where we kick off with that one. Looking at it here, it says the following, and your computer will always do that thing where it says, hello, I'm looking. Ah, there we go. The Prime Minister is facing renewed calls from scientists and senior MPs to introduce sweeping border curbs, according to the main story in The Guardian. That's because of concern about new coronavirus variants being imported from other countries. Paper gives deals of new restrictions, explaining that all passengers will be tested for COVID on the second and eighth day of their isolation, regardless on where they've come from and where they're quarantining. The Express gives a sense of the pressure the government's under to act. It claims that travellers from South Africa, where one of the variants originated, are arriving unchecked at British airports after boarding flights in third countries. The headline lambasts the lack of checks as a disgrace. The Department of Health said it has one of the toughest border regimes in the world. The call for over 70s to come forward and get their first COVID jab, if they haven't already had one, makes the lead for the Eye and for the Daily Mirror. Time to call the shots is the Mirror's headline. A warning from Defence Secretary Ben Wallace on the growing risk of chemical and biological attack makes the front of the Times. He says the internet has given the threat a turbo boost because it had enabled terror groups and nation states to research such weapons. All happy headlines at the moment. His comments received the backing of a senior scientist at the Military Defense Laboratory in Portendown, who highlights the danger posed by bioengineering. The Telegraph reports that Brussels is set to disappoint ministers seeking a concession on the movement of goods from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. The government has called for a 2-year extension of the post-Brexit grace period, reducing red tape on supermarket goods, chilled meats, parcels and medicine. But the paper says it's been told by Whitehall and EU sources that the European Commission is likely to agree only a 3 to 6 month extension. Meanwhile, the Mail has extensive coverage about a row over a decision to rename a professorship of physics at Oxford University after a Chinese software company. The paper says the firm, Tencent, has been accused of having close links with the communist regime's intelligence surveys. The name change is said to have come about after the company donated £700,000 to the university. Lord Patton, the Oxford's Chancellor, is said to have come about after the company donated £70,000 to the university. Lord Patton's Oxford Chancellor and the last British governor of Hong Kong told the Mail he hadn't known about the grant, but that given China had become a surveillance state, he was in favour of a comprehensive survey of relationship between Beijing and all British universities. Oxford University says Tencent had been approved as an appropriate donor. The company itself denies receiving state intelligence funding and rejects accusations of wrongdoing. The Telegraph reports that the BBC journalist Samaria Ahmed is the front runner to replace John Humphreys as the new host of Mastermind. The paper says her appointment would be a vindication after she successfully won an equal pay claim against the BBC on the grounds of sex discrimination. Referring to speculation about the role of Telegraph's headline is, he's parted, so who'll finish at Mastermind? Very good indeed. Looking at the front pages of Spanish headlines in El País in English on Media Partners, the headlines on the front of the webpage. In Spain, new trial puts spotlight on Partido Popular's illegal funding scandal. Ex-party treasurer Luis Bárcenas, convicted in 2018 in a sweeping graft case known as Gürtel, is back on the stand and promises to make new revelations that implicate a former prime minister. Spain approaches the end of phase one of COVID vaccination campaign, and Spanish health ministry reports more than 47,000 coronavirus infections and 909 COVID deaths over the weekend. And those are your Spanish headlines. Just a quick look at the front pages one more time to see what the sub-editors have been putting. Andres is ready to get going with it. I can see behind the mask. Financial Times, Johnson puts faith in AstraZeneca jab after South Africa halts rollout. The front of the Daily Telegraph, SA variant not likely to become dominant. The Guardian, Johnson urged to tighten borders as variants threaten vaccine plan. Daily Express, disgrace, no border virus checks. And the Daily Mirror, time to call the shots. That is over 70 to call. Also, they run something on online abuse. Just when will someone take stand against the vile social media bullies? NHS, call NHS if you still need a jab. Over 70 is told. That's in the Eye. The Times, growing risk of attacks as world order crumbles. Defence Secretary highlights danger from chemical and biological weapons. Daily Mail, £10 million force for good in just 16 days. Magnificent Mail readers and big-hearted donors send computers for kids' drive to soaring heights. And also, after that party, Kay Burley's secret new role. Okay. And The Metro, don't dice with Darcy. This is the storm that is sweeping Northern Europe. Warning to the public as beast from the east 2 brings havoc across Britain. Shock Royal exclusive. This is in The Sun. Zara's £15 million rugby husband, Tyndall, is claiming a furlough, taking the mic. Okay. And the Daily Star. As our kids face the biggest ever schools crisis, we have one question regarding our missing in action education secretary, Gavin Williamson. Where's Willie? And they've done a mock-up of all the government ministers. Quite brilliant, actually. And they've done it as I don't even remember what the thing is called. Where's Wally? That's right. Anyway, that's the those are the front pages. Those are the front pages of the UK and Spanish papers this morning, this Thursday, the 9th of February. If you want to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And good morning to Richard, who says, good morning, welcome back. I thought the UK held all the cards. It probably does. Let's go, though. Let's go to Spanish news. And I'm delighted to be joined back in the studio by Andres Gallardo. Andres, good morning to you.
Giles, good morning. It's great to have you back. It's great to have you back, yeah.
All right, give me the 5 euros in a minute, mate. Don't worry. Interesting times. Since we last spoke, which was a month ago, believe it or not. I mean, what a time to take my Caribbean cruise, obviously. We've had the Trump situation, we've had the virus rolls out, we've also had quite a few things happening in Spain, obviously. One of them being, obviously, we've got a new health minister.
We have a new health minister.
So just bring us up to speed. And the name of the new health minister, and then what happened to the old health minister, and what's he up to, and what's been happening in the Catalan community?
Okay, let's start with the health minister. The health minister is a Catalan guy who's been on television almost every day since the pandemic started. You can argue that he's been a good one or a bad one, you know. This is Illa. But media-wise, is a face that is very recognisable. I have to say his demeanour is quite calm and tranquil as such. And Sanchez, the spin doctor of all the spin doctors, decided to take him out of the health ministry, right, in the middle of the pandemic, as you do, to send him to prepare for the election in Catalonia. Let's not forget that we still have the conflict in Catalonia, where they are seeking independence unilaterally there. That he's gone quiet for obvious reasons. Okay, the pandemic has taken precedent, and he's gone quiet. But we had a situation where the president of the regional government, Torra, was inhabilitated from public office for not following court rulings, as you do when you are a president of a community.
Right.
You ignore the judges. So he did. So he was inhabilitated. So the situation was that they had to call a new regional election. What happens there is that spin doctor Sanchez sends his media man to be the candidate for that election. And the other unusual thing is that suddenly the regional government, who are in charge of prisons, released the politicians in jail.
Right.
They released them on permits to go out and campaign during the election.
And these are the politicians who were jailed for sedition, not treason. And this was during the illegal election that was held in November
17. So what happened there is they got a 13-year prison sentence, some of them between 9 and 13 years. Now, you could argue that those prison sentences were too high. I mean, that's an argument that is by the by, because that's what's in the law, and the judges applied the law to them once they were condemned for these crimes. So, but suddenly they're allowed to go out and campaign. And during the campaign, these guys, what they're saying is that they're going to do it again. They're going to go call another referendum and do the whole thing again unilaterally. And they want independence for Catalonia. In the meantime, Sanchez, to appease them, has done deals with them. And they are now looking at reforming the sedition law, so they have less, they can reduce the prison sentence for these guys.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a under the table negotiation there, which a lot of people in Spain are not happy about, but it's just a way to appease them and have them on board. Because don't forget, in the national parliament, he needs their votes to get legislation through and so on. So, with all these in mind, we have an election on the 14th of February in about 6 days.
Yeah, just after Valentine's.
Yeah. So, lovely date. Yeah. We have that in the middle of the pandemic. So, what's happened is they call the polls now, and 25% of the people who have to preside over the polls have claimed that they don't want to go because they're scared of the pandemic and they are exposed to the public for a period of 10 to 12 hours. I've been in one of those. I presided once. I was unlucky enough to have to go there. It's a 12-hour shift.
Are you called into it? Is it like doing jury service in the UK?
It's a bit like jury service, yeah. Right. You're on a lottery, and if your name comes up, you have to go and spend a day there. I think they gave me €60 for the pleasure of spending 12 hours there. But don't forget, it's just the time, and all you're seeing people constantly. So in a time where we are recommended to stay home, to not socialise, to not do this, not do that, then we have to go and call an election. In my opinion, it's the wrong
time.
I
mean, surely we're in the middle of a pandemic. People are very worried. You know, we've got aren't there more things to be worried about, would you say, Andres, that like the rollout of vaccines that hasn't been going particularly well, you could argue, throughout Spain?
Well, you're telling me, of course, there are more important things at the moment. And the fact that there was an election 2 years ago in Catalonia these politicians, that they're claiming that there's no democracy in Spain, in Catalonia and in the rest of Spain, these guys are going to vote every 2 years. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, so that's where we're at. What's happening is now 25% of the people called to the poll stations have said that they're not going. What happens is, this is quite interesting. Listen to this one. If the poll station cannot be constituted with those people, if they don't turn up, what happens is the first people who go to vote then have to stay to preside the polling station. Now, what they've done because of the pandemic is the first hour they are habilitated for the most vulnerable people to go and vote. So they're the more likely to be called to stay there all day, putting themselves in danger again. So then there is another thing. The people who are positive, they want them to go and vote as well. And they habilitated the last hour for those positive cases, but they're healthy enough to go.
Right.
To go and vote. So the people presiding the polls, they're going to have to wear EPIs,
protective
clothing. So, as you can see, Giles, it's a circus. That's all I can say. It's a complete mess. And what will be interesting here is to see whether the pandemic has shifted the numbers for pro-independence or away from independence. The last time they voted, the actual number of votes showed about a 52-48 split. Are they going to go over the 50% threshold? For pro-independence, that will be interesting to see if the pandemic has had an influence on how people are going to vote.
That's quite a tricky one, isn't it? Because if you're thinking about it, if you know, the Catalan people don't think that the government has been handling this particular crisis very well, we've seen massive shutdown of hostelries, entertainment, entertainment, bars, restaurants, etc. So this could be a protest vote against how Madrid has been handling the pandemic. This could really backfire quite heavily then, would you not say, on the government?
Yeah, I think it could, and I think it will, because the perception, I know some of your listeners think that in Spain we've done things very well, but the perception for Spanish people, looking only at Spanish news, is that we haven't done very well with the pandemic, and the government have made many mistakes. I think there'll be an element of a protest vote.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Giles. Welcome back. Lovely to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Andreas is really enjoying this. You can tell the excitement in his voice, can't you?
It's just from seeing me, I can assure you, Sharon.
It would be good. Sorry?
Just from seeing me, I can assure you, Sharon.
Yeah, it would be good if we could hear the alternate Andreas with the other side of the story. But anyway, Andreas, from when I do hear the other side of the story from other sources, I understand that the desire for independence for Catalonia is going down, that the gap is widening between those who want independence and those who don't. When we talk about how Madrid has handled it, well, it's Madrid that's been letting in French tourists over the last few days, and sort of covertly. And the way, if we're talking about the way Madrid has handled the crisis as an example, God help the PP. And the scandals coming from the PP are ongoing. I've heard news about Barcelona continuing today. I don't think the PP would have handled this any better. Oh, and by the way, next time we go to a vaccine party, can I have the Pfizer, please?
Okay. Look, Sharon, thanks for that. Good to have you with us, as always.
Cheers. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Just a couple of points. As I said, it will be interesting. I don't know. The commentators say that the pro-independence support is going down. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. And we're going to have a situation where I think there's going to be a lot of people who are not going to go to vote simply because they just don't want to put themselves in danger of going to poll station and everything else. So the number of people not voting, or the percentage, I think is going to be high, but we'll have to wait and see. But it'll be interesting to see what the results are, whether that's true, the independent support is going down, or on the other hand is stronger, maybe as a result of the pandemic and some of the decisions that have been put in place. But Sharon is right to say that, of course, central government have delegated a lot of the decision-making to the regional governments. And a lot of the Catalonia particularly has had very strict measures put in place. And will that backfire some people not liking what the regional government has done? I don't know. It's very hard to call on this election. And yes. Now, the other point that Sharon has made, rightly so, is that of all the regional governments, the conservative left regional government in Madrid have done things differently, allowing everything to be open and to try to balance the economy and the health situation. It's interesting to see that the figures that come out from Madrid, you would imagine they would be the worst in the country, because everything is open and there's more socialising there than in other communities, if you like. But unless they're lying on the figures, that's not what's coming out. And other regions are being hit harder, where they have everything completely locked down, like Valencia or even Rioja, Castilla, and so on. So it's you could argue that, yeah, it's dangerous what she Ayuso is doing in Madrid. It's dangerous, but when there was the report on the economy in different areas, Madrid is the one who seems to have held up their, you know, the economy a little bit better than other regions. So only time will tell who's right or wrong here. But that's where we are today.
If you want to get involved with the show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers, and don't forget, of course, you can get in touch with us. We're on Instagram as well, and you can listen to us via the app. Most of you know already about the app, and also we're on. You can download most of the programs from the past 7 days with the from the websites, which is www.tre.radio. I'm here with Andres Gallardo, going to be joined in a little while by Alf Brewer, and also going over to the UK to speak with Rex Leyland in a very snowy houseboat on the Thames, I would imagine, looking at some of the thoughts. Thank you, Rich. It could be worse, says Richard. They could be in the UK. Polling. It's interesting. Let's go back to Catalan polling. These are some of the opinions. The Centre de Estudios de Opinió, and excuse my awful Catalan. Yes, 45.5%. No, 46%. From La Vanguardia, no's are 46%. From a later study this year, 47%. The La Vanguardia from February, 49%. From the Institut de Sciences Politiques y Sociales, which is probably awfully, I've done that. You're grinning at me, aren't you?
That was great.
Thank you. 46%. The last one from that same institution, shall we say, which came out has got it at 47%. So interesting to see those the opinion polling on Catalan independence. Interesting indeed. The WhatsApp, of course, you can get in touch with us on +34 645 99 67 95. We just want to look at just quickly the Gürtel case, because that is still a smoke. Could you say, oh, it's a smoking gun for the Partido Popular at the moment?
Yes, of course. It's a corruption scandal, you know, as if we don't have enough in Spain. This has been going on since, I think it's 2013.
Yeah.
In 2018, Bárcenas, who was the treasurer of the party, was sentenced to, I think it was 28 years in prison, which is not, quite a time. But they are a different cases, and they're being tried separately. Now is the turn of this particular one, which I lost the trail which one this one is. But in any case, he announced last week through his lawyer that he had new evidence that would incriminate the ex-Prime Minister Rajoy. Now, he appeared yesterday in court, and he has no new evidence. All his telling us is what we have already heard a million times coming from him. The bottom line is that he is saying now he wants to collaborate with the justice system so he can get a reduction in his prison sentence. The reality is that all he can do is a face to face with Rajoy in court. I mean, I'm not an expert lawyer on court cases, but is without evidence, hard evidence, what one is going to say, you did this, the other one is going to say, no, I didn't. So who do you believe? The reality is that this is in the media and in the papers, and the PP party, the Conservative Party, is getting, you know, obviously criticised left, right and centre.
Mm.
Yesterday, I heard the interview with the president of the party and leader of the opposition, and it is true what he said. I mean, he's renovated the whole direction of the party with new people, younger people, and he's trying to break away from the cases of corruption. Will he manage that? For his voters, it probably is good enough. For the voters of other parties, they're going to say it's not good enough what he's done. But what else can he do other than change the name of the party and move to different premises?
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, Pablo Casado, who is the leader of the Partido Popular, a much younger leader than we've had traditionally in the Partido Popular, is saying that basically Bárcenas is lying, and he's been lying for the past 10 years.
Yeah, this has been going on for. I mean, the corruption apparently dates back to the 80s, because the treasurer, the previous treasurer, was also involved. Unfortunately, he died during the pandemic, I think. This has been going on for many, many years. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is a practice that happens in other parties. They finance themselves through business people who, you know, sort of support the party, giving them money in exchange for either maybe legislation that they would be beneficial for them, or public
contracts. Yeah, I mean,
and I wouldn't be surprised if this is. Wouldn't be surprised if it happens in every country as a way of financing political parties.
I mean, there was a whole thing about the revelation of Barthenas having overseas bank accounts, you know, a fortune hidden away with that. That was, you know, part of the, if you like, the dark arts.
The problem with him is that some money would go to the party and some money would go to his pocket.
Yeah.
Which ended up in bank accounts in Switzerland, apparently. So, well, not apparently, because he is in jail because of that. So it's already sentenced, and it's a firm sentence. So he is, not a soft one, because 28 years, it's quite a sentence for that type of crime. But now this is all coming out of it. And there is, I think there is one or two more court cases that will come out in the future. And every time that comes out, it doesn't benefit the PP party. They're going to suffer for many years because of this. This corruption scandal brought down the government of Rajoy and is going to keep them in the opposition for many years to come. But I suppose that's the price you pay when you're a corrupt politician, and it should be like that. Yes.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio@tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Nine phone numbers to get in touch with us. The time is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. Delighted to welcome on to the programme via phone link. Alf Francis. Alf, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles, and like everybody else, it's nice to hear you back on the radio, and more importantly, sounding pretty fit.
Well, thank you very much indeed. It's good to be back. I would say socially distanced group hug, but there you go. Shame we can't all be in the studio, but let's hopefully see how things are going and how we continue at the moment. What's your take on where we are? Shall we start with where we are in Spain, obviously, because you've got your insight into what's going on over here at the moment. What are your thoughts on where we are as we go into the second month of 2021?
Andreas is still there.
He's absolutely still here.
Oh, well, nice to hear you, Andreas.
Nice, Alf.
Nice that you can hear me direct and answer me direct, because it's 4 weeks on and the knocking still goes on. and you're pretty good at it, but you never get it right. So you reckon that the Spanish government made lots of mistakes. And I just, simple question, which government on the whole planet hasn't made any mistakes, with the exception I would give you of New Zealand? Every government has made mistakes in this pandemic, because nobody has really faced it in the last 100 years. So just to knock and say, oh, they all made mistakes. Yeah, they have all made mistakes, some of them bigger than others. Secondly, he talks about the elections in Catalonia, and you're almost condemning them. If, you know, they're allowing the people who want to run for office to come out of prison to campaign. Another simple question, why, if they hadn't done that, do you not think that Spain would have been accused of manipulation of the elections, like Myanmar, Russia, Belarus, Zimbabwe, you name it, all these countries that stick people in prison and then stop them from campaigning? Or what about the last one in I forget where it was, in one of the African countries, is it Zaire, where the guy locked him up in his own house and wouldn't let him go out and campaign? Just unbelievable. And you think that Spain are going to resort to third world country tactics? I don't believe that. And also, remember, as people were talking about it, like in most countries, the regional people are controlling the vaccine. So it's important that you have a government in Catalonia that are delivering for the people. And that's not just in general political terms. That's specifically on, you know, making sure that the vaccine gets out, etc. Yeah, and like most European countries, they're all being belittled by the UK, who managed to steal everybody else's vaccine and put it in first. And also, I just cannot believe the bit about the polling stations and politicians. It would be like you being a politician, Andreas. You're not an idiot. You're not going to put someone who's vulnerable into a polling booth and say you've got to sit there for 12 hours and also you're going to meet all these other... That's never going to happen. And by the way, in the UK, anybody over the age of 70 can't do jury service. No overseas voters can do jury service. No medical condition people can do jury service. They get exemptions. So to just belittle it as, oh, look at what the stupid Spanish have done. You know, they probably thought it through, and they probably didn't think about the bit that you thought about, because they think they're going to get enough people, because there will be enough interest. They'll get enough people who will, once they're drawn out of this raffle, as you say, which would exclude the over 70s, presumably, that they're not going to show up at a polling station and do their duty. I don't believe that. I think most civil people understand their civil duty and join in. So, yeah, I think to dismiss it and poo-poo it as if these people don't know what they're doing is simplicity at its worst. And the bit that Sharon was talking about, the pro-independence in decline, and you said, well, I'm not sure. Well, the polls have been showing that it's in decline, but like you, there's a difference between what somebody says to a pollster on a street where nobody's supposed to be about and what they do if they ever go to a ballot station or to a polling station. And there will be a number of people, as there is in every election, there'll be a number of I don't care. And there'll be, you know, lots of people who are going to say the virus is so much bigger than these elections, and the government should get on with running the country. And there'll be a lot of Catalonians saying, yeah, we want the government to run the country, but we want it to be run for our benefit as well as everybody else's. And the Catalonian argument has been there for a long time about, you know, we earn all the money and we get the least reward for it. So, anyway, Andreas, it was nice to hear what you said.
Thank you, Alf. Look, let's go in parts, because you said a lot of things there. I mean, to compare Spain's judicial system with the countries that you've mentioned is a little bit insulting, to say the least. In Spain, we have a full democracy. We have very clear laws legislated by parliament. There is separation of powers and so on. And these political leaders, they're not in jail because of what they think or what they would like to do, but for what they've done. They've committed a crime and they're in jail. What surprises me is that being sentenced by the Supreme Court to jail for a substantial number of years, suddenly, 2.5 years later, they're allowed to go out and campaign, saying they are going to do, because the motto is we'll do it again, and that's the main.
When you say we'll do it again,
we'll do it again. Is
do
the independence referendum and unilateral declaration of independence, which is very, in my view, is very undemocratic, because if you get 2 million
no, Andreas,
votes to decide what 47 million
Andreas,
people in
democracy.
Spain have to put up with,
you are
it's
so
not really
wrong,
representative.
Andreas.
And that was what surprises me, is that in order to keep Sanchez in power, they are now looking at having these people out in the street campaigning, saying we're going to do it again. When it's clearly something that if they do, they will have the end result of someone going back to prison. And that's what surprises me. Again, comparing the democracy in Spain with the countries you mentioned, I think it's not fair at all.
No, you didn't say that, Andrew.
So on to the other things. I haven't made a note, so I forgot what else you said there, but that was my main point.
I'm sorry, Andreas. Again, you are so, so wrong. For a kickoff, Myanmar, Russia, Belarus, Zimbabwe all operate under a democracy. Myanmar is going through an issue because their democracy has been taken away from them now by the army. But they're all acting in a democracy, and it's not just a democracy. This is about an electoral system, not a judicial system. And for you to say, seriously, just think about what you're saying. How dare these people who are in prison, who want to come out and campaign in an election, because they have a different view from you, they should be kept in prison and their view should be squashed. That's what you're saying.
No, Alf. There is a lot of politicians out there that they defend the independence for Catalonia. They have the right to say that and to believe that. So yes. We're not persecuting anyone for their ideas.
But they're not being released from prison. They're only being allowed to campaign in an election. They're going to be campaigning on something that you don't agree with. I don't agree with it, by the way. But you cannot stop and you cannot stifle opposite opinions and then say, oh, we're going to have a free, fair and democratic election when half of the argument is being stifled.
What I don't understand is they can campaign as much as they like. What I don't understand is why prisoners in prison during a sentence are allowed out. I cannot understand.
You should understand it, Andreas, because the argument that's been going on ever since they were put in prison is that they are not normal prisoners. They are political prisoners. They were put into prison for their political view.
You
can justify it by saying, oh, it was the judicial system and it was this and it was that. But that's not what the international organisations are saying. They're saying quite clearly it was a political reason that these people were put in prison because they were stirring up whatever it is that they were doing. So in their view, and I would imagine in the view of a number of, you know, whether you agree with them or not, they are being used and held as political prisoners. Once you start doing that, you start going down the road of, and I'll repeat it, Russia, you're telling me Russia isn't a democracy. You might not like their democracy, and you may laugh at it, but they're still a democracy. They still have free elections, even though they might be distorted, and there might be a lot of corruption goes on.
Let's be realistic. You can't put Russia into the same category as the Spanish democracy.
It's nothing to do with democracy.
You can't.
This is an election.
You're assuming that these politicians in prison are in prison because of their ideas. And it's not. It's because of what they've done, not because of what they think. That's the difference between a politician in prison to a political prisoner.
Born out from committing some criminal offence.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John from Meehan.
Morning, John.
Alf, I thought one time I'd never agree with you, but actually I agree with almost everything you ever said. But on this point, it's rather like the Trump people who went and attacked Parliament in America. If they get sentenced to a term of imprisonment, in 4 years' time or whatever, letting them out to campaign on behalf of Trump's re-election. No?
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
Well, because it's not a political crime they've committed. What they've committed is a criminal act. And if it's
Therefore, it's not the same. These people didn't commit criminal acts. They didn't go rioting. They didn't go smashing things up. They just campaigned for independence.
Hang on. They're convicted of an offence which is in the criminal code of Spain. That's a criminal offence.
Of course. Of course, that's correct, but that doesn't make what they did and what law they used correct, does it?
Well, yes,
just because the
law
country says you've done this, therefore we're putting you in prison, doesn't make them right, which is why we have so many organisations campaigning to release people from prisons who are being illegally held, in their opinion.
But this is not the case.
Let's just have John make his viewpoint, because he's the best calling again. Yeah, John.
Okay. If it's the law of the land that's been put in place by a political system, then one must abide by that law until somebody changes it because they don't like it or whatever. You can't just say, I disagree with this. So a bit like the Black Lives Matter or whatever in England, tearing down statues, that's a criminal damage. It's a political act as well, but it's criminal damage. So therefore, you have to send them, deal with them for committing a criminal act. The people in Catalonia have committed a criminal act, which is contrary to the criminal law of Spain. Change the law, by all means, if people don't like it, campaign to change it. But you sentence them to the law. And to let them out, I say, partway through the sentence, for something almost is what they went to prison for, just doesn't make sense.
I'll leave it
at that.
Thanks very much for your call in there, John. After a quick reply, I'm going to go to the break.
Yeah, but John, you know, they're not being let out of prison. You know, repeat what's said. They're being released from prison to campaign for the elections. They're not being released from prison. They will continue to serve their sentence.
Let me just correct that. They're out of prison on a what is called a third degree here, which is a semi-freedom status that you only achieve once you've done half of your sentence. So you can't, you don't have access to that semi-freedom until you've had a number of years in prison, which he hasn't been done. Don't forget, about 30 days before they were released, they applied for that semi-freedom, and the Supreme Court said no, and they sent a long explanation of why they said, no, you cannot access that. Yeah. And 30 days later, the local government in Catalonia, who are in charge of the prisons, they decided that, yes, they were going to give it to them. And not only that, but the general attorney appointed by Sanchez, an ex-justice minister, on the radio, after they'd been on television for a week, she said that she hadn't been notified to put a complaint to the court, so they were sent to prison. So they've been on TV for a week, and the general attorney says they haven't been notified of that.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Indeed. 952-78-4000 joined live in the studio, socially distanced by Andres Gallardo, and on the line by Alf Brewer, of course. Just some bits and pieces on the WhatsApps, etc. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. This in, unnamed, unfortunately. The African country we were talking about earlier is Uganda, which locked up its opposition challenger, Mr. Bobby Wine. Also, good to hear from you, Claudia. Thank you for your note in. And also, Richard, a country that's done well, South Korea. Russia is not a democracy. It's a tan-democracy, perhaps. So I will... I don't know if that's coming from... please explain, Richard, as always, because I'm a bit slow. It's my first day back at school. I'm a bit slow like that. 5 minutes before the international news. Alf, you were saying?
Yeah, I just... Sorry, I'm glad you're back at school.
It's all right, it's fine. Packed lunch and everything, Alf. Packed lunch and everything.
Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, yes, there's the law of the land, but this isn't about being a legal position. This is a moral position. And I'll try to draw an analogy. The SNP in Scotland are saying that if they win the local elections with a majority, which is no different to Catalonia, then irrespective of what the English government, as they call it, the UK government says, they will hold another referendum in the autumn. That's what the SNP have said. So if they do that, technically they will be breaking the law of the UK, because they have to have the permission of Parliament in order to have a referendum for independence. But morally, let's assume, I don't want to see it, but let's assume that the SNP win 60% or 65% of the vote of Scottish people, and it may be much higher than that, So why are they morally wrong for saying, well, we're having a referendum because we're representing the people of Scotland? Why, for example, can Sinn Féin refuse to take up parliamentary seats and they don't hold re-elections for people who don't take up a seat? Because the moral position is much, much higher than a legal position sometimes. So John may be right, because John's the ex-policeman, so of course it's always going to be the law says. But that's not always the right way to do it. I find it difficult.
This doesn't work like this. Because for what someone moral is something subjective. And the law is objective. You can't say, oh, morally I'm right, because the next person next to you might think that morally you're not right. That's why the law exists. That's why parliaments have to legislate, to have a framework where everyone knows what can be done and cannot be done. And that's what we are at. The separation of powers of Montesquieu is still applies to this day. Parliament legislates, government execute, and the judiciary are like the referees who will apply the laws as and when needed. And that's what's there. The sedition crime in Spain was reformed by your beloved Socialist Party in 1985, and there was no need, or nobody thought, none of the different parliaments we've had in Spain had had the need to change it, because they've seem to think is quite adequate. Now we have this situation. Now the government they want to re-legislate the sedition crime to lesser the years. They should have thought of that first. From the Catalan point of view, they knew what they were doing was illegal and it would have consequences. So instead of influencing the parliament to legislate so they could do what they wanted to do, they went there with taking their shirts off and jump in the pool and say, come on, let's do it. And that's not the way of doing things. The consequence is that they've gone to prison, applying the laws of the land, as John said earlier. And what is very surprising is that they are now, these guys who's supposed to be queuing with the trays to get the food in the local prison, they are on every TV channel campaigning, saying, we are going to do it again. There's not even remorse on what they've done. They just want to do it again. And I personally think it's wrong. You know, I mean, I'm not against the idea of people thinking that independence is a good idea and it'd be better for Catalonia. I haven't seen any detail of that yet. So I don't know how it would be better. But okay, you're free to think that. But you cannot do something that goes against the law. And you can't claim that it's morally right, because what's morally right for you might not be morally right for the guy next door.
But I can complain about it being morally wrong. And I've just used the analogy. This is the one I know better. If the SNP win a massive vote in the local elections, they have every right to say, we are representing the Scottish people. We represent the majority of Scottish people. And we're saying we want to have... They're not saying they want independence. I mean, they would campaign for it. But they're saying we want the right to have a referendum for independence. So much so that even the Labour Party in the UK are saying that if that's the case, they should be allowed to do it morally, i.e. Parliament, because it will be a Tory majority and they'll vote against it because they've got no other way of doing it. And the Labour Party will be standing alongside every other opposition party, by the way, saying no, they have the right to have another referendum. We're going to campaign to stay in the Union, but... So, there is a moral position.
Right then, we'll get back onto more of this because those bongos move. We've come to the end of the first half. We've got lots of emails coming in at the moment. So we're back with more Viewpoint after the national and international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio.
Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Always live, always lively viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, back. Today it's like riding a bike. You go away, you come back, and then it's all the same, but different, if you know what I mean. I'm joined in the studio, socially distanced, of course, by Andres Gallardo, and live on the line as well by Alf Brewer. I'll be speaking with Rex Leyland as well in the UK in about 15 minutes time or so. You have the numbers to get involved in. Let's have a look at some of the emails, the WhatsApps coming in. Hi, Giles. This is from Jeff. If I remember rightly, weren't these Spice politicians found guilty of misuse of public funds, amongst other criminal offences? Maybe you could put this to the panel, which I just have done. Also, this one in as well. You cannot even begin to compare Spain to Uganda. Uganda is a country that locks up its citizens for using VPN after blocking the internet. Check it out. Tercero Garrado, day release, more or less. That's getting back to why the politicians are out. And from Richard in London, Scotland has more of a right to independence than Catalonia. After all, Catalonia was never an independent nation in its own right, and the situation has changed considerably for Scotland since the EU referendum, and also they've had the threat of sending Prince Edward up there to strengthen the union, quote unquote. Andres, you're nodding your head vigorously at that.
I just wanted to go back to what Alf said about Scotland. A Scottish referendum has to be approved by Westminster, if I'm not mistaken, by Parliament. If they don't follow that channel, they'll be in the wrong. That's why you cannot. The independence of Scotland will affect the whole of the UK. So they have to follow the right channels, because otherwise other parts of the UK will rightfully complain about it. So to do things unilaterally, like the Catalans did in 2017 and they want to do again, is the wrong route. It is better to influence legislation to allow eventually perhaps a referendum. With a referendum with an equal campaign for against and for, which at the moment in Catalonia there isn't an argument, a two-sided argument. There's only the one-sided argument of the pro-independence parties and followers.
And we've got a caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kate. Good to have you with us.
And quickly, before the break at the lunchtime, the middle news, it seemed to me that there was the words are slightly wrong about moral versus legal. Basically, on the SNP side, because of a number of things to do with the way that the Scots were naturally more logical, and there's a higher amount of socialist feeling in Scotland, have been more disgusted by the behaviour of the Conservative government since 2010, particularly, and therefore the anti-government votes are all going into SNP. If, as I think it was Alf who said, there's a high SNP vote in the May elections, then it would be unrealistic, and I think that's the word one wants, rather than moral. For if there was such a high proportion of people wanting a vote, constitutional vote, then it would be unwise of a government to ignore it. Cheers.
Thank you very much for that. Richard comes in. Unlike Catalonia, Andres, Scotland didn't have an illegal referendum. They're asking for one from London. Now, whether the government of Boris Johnson allows that, he says several times that he's not going to consider that. Alf?
Yeah, it's exactly the same argument, and Andreas can say where. And let's get back to my position. First of all, I'm not a separatist. Second, I don't agree with referendums in order to achieve this. If I was, I'd be saying let's have a referendum on bringing back capital punishment, and I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the capital punishment argument. I don't agree with having a referendum, because they're unfair. And I would be one of those campaigning against the breakup of the British Union. I'm also was around in Barcelona when they were doing it, you know, back in the day. And I used to meet up with some of my Spanish friends and say exactly the same there. You would be absolutely daft to break up the Union of Spain. And so that, my position is quite clear. Secondly, about democracies, you cannot pick and choose. The world says, in order for us to trade with you, in order for us to do things with you, you have to be part of a democracy. Now, everybody can argue about how democratic Spain is, or Italy, or Greece. But the difference is, they're called a democracy. Uganda was and is a democracy. You may hate and detest the way. And the comparison I was making is, Spain say, we're not letting these people out of prison to campaign on an issue that's a general issue in this area, is no different from the rubbish democracies of Russia, Myanmar, Belarus, Zimbabwe, Uganda. They are wrong. They are all wrong. Why would you let Spain be accused exactly the same as we accuse them? You know, Andreas was quite right. Russia, look at Russia. How can you compare Russia? Well, because it's there. They do run a democracy, whatever some person wants to put on it. They have free and open elections, and we all know it's fiddled. Everybody on the planet knows it's fiddled. Look at Belarus as well. And not just the elections itself, but the results. So, but you can't ignore that they're there, and you can't say, don't compare us with them, because that is the comparison. If you want to be accused of operating in the same way as Uganda or Zimbabwe or any of those, then you keep the prisoners in prison and you stop them campaigning for what they believe in. So let's get it straight with the comparison about that and my personal position. And you can't keep saying, oh, the Catalonians, you've only heard one side of the argument, and that's for the separatists. Well, why did they, all these other people who didn't want the separation and the rest of Spain say, we don't, why did all the Spanish flags, I live on the Costa del Sol, not in the middle of Barcelona, and all the Spanish flags that came out on balconies, and a friend of mine, a Spanish woman, she said, why are all these flags appearing? She lives in England. And I said, that's because of people showing their solidarity for keeping Spain as one country, which I agree with. So if there was no opposition, why did all that happen? And of course there's been both sides of the argument. What you're seeing now is the Spanish government, in my view, he's not doing it in any other way other than to appease the Catalonians, to try to get something back into it that makes it real democracy, i.e. two sides of an argument, no control over what goes on. But to do that, you have to allow the people to have a referendum, and that's where it goes wrong, because it's difficult to campaign to keep something that you've had for years rather than saying break away and give all those from first case, every Brit in Spain should be looking at the bus saying 350 million a week back to the NHS, and people believed it. But unfortunately, that's what happens in referendums. Mm. Whereas if Parliament makes a decision, what the public can do is elect or deselect the people that are representing them. You can't do that in a referendum because there is nothing there to accuse. All you can say is, I agreed or I didn't agree. What you can't say is, I didn't agree with you, and I don't think you represent me, and therefore I'm not voting for you. That's different.
Looking at the emails in, Richard wants to make clear for his point about a tandemocracy, a portmanteau, he says, of tandem and crassy rule, i.e. Putin, Medvedev. Democracy means choices, and there has been no real choice for Russia for many, many years. All roads and votes lead to Putin.
Absolutely. And it also goes on, which makes it a rubbish democracy. It doesn't make them a non-democracy.
And also he comes on to say, if Parliament makes a decision, then Scotland will never leave. However, it will continue to alienate Scotland. That's Richard's thoughts. 952-78-4000. The phone number, studio@tre.radio, is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Proficial. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. Andreas?
Yeah, let me just give you my view on referendums. I think a referendum is a very dangerous way of using democracy. I think a referendum should be an instrument of democracy to ratify something solid, because you could go to a referendum. I'm going to put Brexit as an example. I'm sorry, Giles.
First day back east is the B word.
There was, after the vote, you'll remember all this argument about Brexit, soft Brexit, hard Brexit, no deal, with deal, Norway system. So people have voted for something that wasn't, it should have been done. This is a proposal. This is the deal or no deal or whatever it is, and this is what you're voting for, yes or no. To vote on something vague and also that runs into the emotion of people is the wrong thing to do. And what's happening in Catalonia is the same. They are promoting a referendum on this ideal republic where everything will be hunky-dory and rosy, but there's no detail on the proposal. So I would like to know the detail on it and how they're going to finance themselves. Who's going to pay the pensions that people have been paying while being part of Spain? That's something quite simple. The money is controlled by Spain. Are they going to get a cash back? The army, are they going to form an army? There's a lot of detail into forming a new country that we don't know what it is. So how can people vote on a referendum? It's just appealing to the emotional vote to say, yes, I feel very Catalan, I speak the language, and this is my land, and I want to be independent. But there's no details.
Going live to lines today. Morning, calling alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Ostbanger.
Yes, Kate.
One footnote. Totally agree with Alf about the dangers and the stupidities of basing national policy on referenda. But at the moment, I was talking specifically about the fact that the SNP is going to have elections. I mean, it's going to show, I think, relatively well in May, and what the British government then does. And it would be foolish to ignore it. That's all.
Thank you very much for that call in. Kate, lines are busy, as I thought they might be. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, you're live on TRE.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 996 795. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed. International we are here on Viewpoints. We cast our net far and wide and delighted to welcome onto the show, I think for the first time this year possibly, we go live to London and Rex Leyland from his houseboat on the Thames. Rex, ahoy there, are you receiving me?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Spain, from a very snowy London on the riverbank with no traffic, no rowers. All we've got are the birds and the big snowflakes.
The birds and the big snowflakes. I trust you are sensibly attired for the weather then at the moment then, Rex.
I got dressed just for you. I know you can't see me, but I am wearing a sou'wester and I've got goggles and huge furry gloves sitting here awaiting your dulcet tones from the nether regions of Andalusia.
You keep your nether regions to yourself. It's a family show, Rex. But good to have you with us. I'm joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo, of course, social distance. And on the other line, we have, on one of the other lines, we have Alf Brewer. So then, Rex, what's your viewpoint of the situation? I just want to get, actually, before we get to that, I just want to have a quick email we've had in, because it pertains to the situation in the UK and perhaps international. This is talking, we'll get away from the referendums, etc. This is from Christine, who says, I seriously question the South African government stopping vaccines. We'll get into vaccines, I think, because of a small test at Wits University, namely 2000. The WHO representative interviewed last night allowed the questions to be investigated, which delays activation of said vaccine. African countries are often reluctant to challenge other African countries, bearing in mind the ongoing high incidence of HIV, AIDS-related TB and malaria, hepatitis C, also AIDS-related. Now, how can you generalise, excuse me, with global results? It's tragic for people desperate for the vax in a desperate situation. Looking at the UK front pages today, Alf, they seem to be saying, get your shots, dial a jab for over 70s. Also, they are saying, what's the other one? I was looking for that one. Basically saying, call NHS if you still need a jab over 70s told. What's the situation like, Rex, for you on the ground, if you like, in the UK?
Well, that's fortuitous that you asked me that, because it was on my list of things to discuss, because I know that the vaccination programme has stalled pretty much so in the EU. That's a separate topic. As far to answer your question, I was offered quite some time ago, I was offered the Pfizer, which I turned down for various reasons, and then I sent to surgery 10 days later an email to remind them that I'm waiting for the Oxford, for the AstraZeneca, and within 1 hour they called me into the surgery and given me my first jab. So as of a week, as of next Monday, my 3 week sort of incubation will be up. Not that I will misbehave and take off my visor or mask when going shopping. I still am being very cautious, and we are, of course, socially cautious as well, sticking to people only in our bubbles. I think really we've got to take it all seriously, and I think that one thing has come out of it is that we have the know-how, the ability and knowledge to help the world with the vaccinations, along with Israel, that seems to have come on very strong as well. But I just am quite worried about how the EU have handled it at your end. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. But I would suggest if you can choose which vaccine you want to choose. I chose the Oxford because I had bad reports from people of my age who had nasty reactions, and some people got COVID after the first jab. My two sets of neighbours got COVID. They were in their 80s and they got it after the first jab. They probably picked it up inside the clinic, which is another thing you've got to be careful of. Fortunately, I was only one person in the doctor's surgery with nobody else there. But I would warn all of you that if you are attending clinics, there is a liability. Liable. You could get COVID. So you've got to be very, very cautious.
Very, very cautious.
Don't touch anybody. Wipe things after you. You know, make sure that you're as sterile as you can be.
Alf, I don't know, did you got any of that on the line as well? Just sorry, Alf.
Yes, yeah, I did get that.
Right.
I'm finding it a bit difficult because. Well, the last report was that Spain, I think they've just, Andreas would know, Spain have just concluded vaccinating all of the over 80s, I think it is.
They've come to the end of the first, I'm just looking at my notes here, they've come to the end of the first rollout, I think it is. I'm just scurrying down. Here we go. Spain approaches end, so it's getting there. Seniors and residences nearly complete with
frontline
workers in there. Richard sent in some figures, just in case this whole thing about stalled. Some of the stats that we got coming in here, the United States is 19.15 million. I mean, obviously, the population is much bigger there. But Israel, 208 million. Italy, 113 million. Germany, 981,914. Spain, 682,909. That's on February the 4th. The UK on February the 6th, 511,000. 447, and then France 233 4,000, Poland 405,000. So those are the stats. So as Richard said, still, despite Italy, Germany and Spain having vaccinated more people fully than the UK.
And like what Rex said,
Good morning, Al.
Hiya, Rexy. We've heard of three people in the UK who had their first jab, and one woman who was my aunt's friend, she died a week later of COVID, obviously. And there seems to be this thing, whether because they're actually, it's like the flu jab, isn't it? You get someone who's 92, and what you do is you give them a flu jab, which gives them flu, and then you find that their immune system can't cope with it.
Well, again, Al, if I could interrupt, my other neighbour next door, my immediate neighbour, his non-Nigerian parents in their lower 90s, they had left their property since the outbreak, the first outbreak last year. They hadn't left their house in Sheen. They were taken to a clinic to have the COVID jab, and the father had his jab, then contracted COVID, hospitalised, subsequently died. The mother got COVID, is still recovering at home. The moral, again, is it when you go out to get the jab that you can become infected.
Could it be the jab itself?
Well, there is, in Norway, they've done a study on very, very senior people, I think it's 80s and 90s, and again, they found that 38 people died as a result of the Pfizer in that age bracket. So the problem with this whole scenario is that nobody really knows. Everybody's stumbling in the dark, and it won't be when my wife saw this spiritual professor months ago, he said, we're going to have to wait a minimum of 2 years to get any basic knowledge, and probably 10 years' time we'll know it all, but not until then. We are stumbling around. Every day there's a different story. Every day there's something new. And I would advise anybody, everybody, definitely have the jab. Choose it, whichever one you feel is you're comfortable with, and also take a lot of care when getting those injections. That's my advice.
Thanks for that one, Rex. And did you come in on some points there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I agree with Rex. I mean, we know very little. The only thing is the vaccination program and the vaccine itself has been presented to us as our saviour. And we all got very excited about the fact that we could, in no time get rid of the virus through the vaccination program. And that's not proving to be the case. They are teething problems, their logistical problems, the European Union made a mess of the whole thing, and the vaccines are trickling through. Now that we sorted out the logistics in Spain, now we haven't got the vaccines. So people, we were sold the idea that this was going to be over thanks to this vaccination program, and it's not proving the case yet.
I mean, the AstraZeneca the vaccines only start arriving in Spain this weekend.
This last weekend,
and they're only going to be given to people between the ages of 18 and 55. So therefore, Rich, come in. Vaccinations never meant immunity. I mean, people seem to think that this is going to be some sort of magic bullet panel. But it's we're not going to be able to.
I think there's another thing, Giles, as well. That obviously, as they've been saying, is that we'll all have to likely have our annual flu jab, or probably have our annual COVID jab. But another thing I recalls yesterday that in England the 60-year-old we all got pneumonia jabs. It's a once in a lifetime jab, so I'm hoping that that will also go towards protecting people as well as the COVID jab. You've had your pneumonia jab, I've had my flu jab, so I've had three sets of protection. Of course, I still got COVID last March, for whatever reason, but it's the frightening thing now is the next strains that are coming in, the mutations, and that's where the research is being done and is most pertinent at the moment.
You must be feeling something like a bit of a human pincushion at the moment by the sound of things, Rex.
Well, yes. Do you know, I only remembered about the pneumonia jab yesterday, because we all got it at 60, never thought about it. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime. I don't know if you get it in Spain, the pneumonia jab at 60.
You can buy it.
Because most people are going to hospital with COVID and then contracting pneumonia.
Yeah.
And dying, or they have pneumonia first and then get COVID and die.
Well, you don't actually die of a virus, do you? It's the after effects of a virus. So it is pneumonia, lung conditions, stuff like, well, what's pneumonia? It's flooding of the lungs. It's all very similar, isn't it?
Yeah, the other thing is the fact you brought up a quick post, and this was something that I heard today on the way down, is this whole thing about, you know, you can buy it privately. And there's been a big thing about what's an essential worker. In Spain, we've had the head of the defence staff, the chief of the defence staff, resigning because he put himself up as an important case. And people with money, if you like, jumping the queue. I mean, that's got to have some sort of effect as well, panel.
As if that's never been heard of before.
Well, I know that, but it's just, I mean, you know, when we're all supposed... what's they'll say? We're not so much in the same boat, but we're on the same ocean and in different crafts, Alf.
Yeah, but if they're getting five jabs out of a bottle instead of four, who's to say that the fifth one isn't being reported and someone's flogging it to somebody who's got some money? We don't know what's going on, do we?
This is what they do here. What they do here is they, when they're having an immunising session, if there's any vaccine left over, they don't waste. They make a phone call and they call people in to use up, so to speak.
Yeah. So what was it last week? Rex, what was it last week? A whole football team, the coaching staff and the staff of the football club all received a jab based on the fact they had left over vaccine.
That's quite normal. They have a listing for the day, and then people don't turn up or people are sick, and then they have the quotas that are made out for the day. And when the day ends and there's stuff left over, they call other people in, which I think is sensible.
Yeah, but it's a football club, 150 people. It all happened to just be on hand to rush to the late to place had a few bits of vaccine left over. Cheltenham Football Club. Yeah. The whole football club.
Surely, when they do the lists of people who need to be vaccinated, they should allow for people who may not turn up or can't turn up, and instead of wasting the vaccines, they should have like a second list of people to go. Not just randomly pick up the phone and someone. Because this is the argument of some politicians in Spain to say, oh well, there was spare vaccines and they called me, you know. Really, the health system should have a bench, like a football team, people who can.
Well, it does here. I can assure you, and they have so many. Every 5 minutes, a new patient arrives or gets immunised, and then of course they can program the whole session, the whole day, 8 till 8. I think it is.
Just got an email in here saying from Peter saying Alf is only jealous because West Ham weren't vaccinated. So there you go.
We had enough players who'd got it.
Indeed. Listen, Rex, I'm going to let you go because I know you're standing outside on your boat.
I'm not standing. No, Giles, I'm inside. I'm fine. Don't worry.
Okay, fine. We're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back with some more
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Straight back to Rex in the UK. Excuse me, Rex.
Yep. Giles. Yes. During the break, I had to go and find myself a box of tissues because I started to break down crying because I realised that yesterday, February the 8th, is it? It's been exactly 1 year since I not only left Spain but left any form of aircraft or transportation or whatever. Exactly 1 year yesterday since I have been away. That is frightening. A year taken out of my life without any travel at all. The good news yesterday is I received from the government my new EHIC card.
Right.
Which is now valid till 2025. And it's got a Union Jack on it. And it, as you know, we can use it through mostly through every country in Europe, including Scandinavia, etc. So that's the good news. At least I'm suitably armed, ready for my next venture, which I hope will be very, very soon when I can come down and see everybody.
Yeah, everyone's come in on studio at CRE.radio. Lines are very busy. So many pictures of people having jabs by folk not wearing gloves. I would advise you, Yvonne, to look at that carefully, see where that's come from. It may be an old picture, but as far as I know, and I have, my sister is a nurse, and I can assure you that they're using every bit of PPE they possibly can. These in... why do you want an e-hic, by the way, if you're not travelling? That's been the question that's just sent to Rex. Sorry, I haven't turned you up there, sorry. This is from Richard in London. As Rex says, expect annual boosters. There's been wastage in the UK, especially in BAME areas, who've not turned up for appointments. And Roger has come in. Hi, Giles. I am just 81. And the computer has gone down with the virus itself, in sympathy, I think. Here we go. I'm just 81 with underlying medical conditions. And I'm still waiting to be invited to have my first jab. I very much doubt that I shall be offered the choice of AstraZeneca, or, excuse me, the emails are coming in, or Pfizer. It will be this or nothing. Just to say from Peter, Giles, good to hear you back. Just to say it's been a year since we've seen our daughter who's training to be a jockey in the UK. Lots of people, of course, like yourself, Rex, who have been unable to travel. And you were quite, weren't you? You were quite the snowbird flitting back and forth between Spain and the UK.
Absolutely. I mean, fortunately, last year I went to... Sorry, 2019, before the virus, I had a trip to Kenya, followed by Peru, followed by Spain. And thank God I did it all, because now I don't feel so cheated, even though I've been stuck here for a year and we're all desperate to get away. Can I just change the subject and ask the panel and everybody else with regards to their thoughts on that gentleman from the EU going cap in hand to the Russians for their vaccine? What are the thoughts on that?
What, the Sputnik, the vaccine, Rex?
The Sputnik 5.
Right.
Apropos Mr. Navalny and everything else that's going on. I think it's a tricky one, because you're going to save lives, cap in hand, but at the same time, are you compromising your political standards?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Rex. It's called, and the Chinese have also got a vaccine. This is called trying to get the best you can for your people from wherever in the world you can get it. The problem with most of this is, though, that up until, was it last week, I think, the Russian vaccine hadn't been processed and cleared properly through the normal channels. And even if someone had gone from the EU to there, it still would have had to have gone through the European Union's health system to be allowed to be used in the EU. But the Chinese are producing millions of this stuff as well. I mean, I think they're providing most of Southeast Asia with their vaccine. And why would you do it? Other than the way you'd look at the end of having the jab, what's wrong with getting the jab? If everybody believes...
Well, the question is, do you put world health over world politics? That's the question.
Of course you do. Without world health, you've got no politics. There's no politics involved in people dying. That's called a war.
Yeah, one of the things in Europe is with regards to the Russian vaccine is that they're habilitating a plant in Austria to produce the Russian vaccine, because one of the rules and regulations in the EU is that you have to be able to trace the whole process, and they can't do that with Russia. So
correct.
They're buying the formula, if you like, and it'll be all produced in Austria and distributed from Austria. So
going cap in hand, either, is it, Andreas? Why is it going cap in hand?
Well, I mean, I don't.
That was Rex's description, was cap in hand, wasn't it?
It was reported in the Sunday press, or the weekend press, that they thought that he was judged as being unpolitical, or rather too political.
Well,
or
I,
not political.
I disagree with that. For once, I agree with Alf.
Good grief.
Yeah, I think that the health issue takes precedence over politics in this particular case. Yes, I mean, if the vaccine is effective and we can buy it, we should.
Rex, just...
Also, Giles...
Yeah, sorry, Alf, go
no, it's, we shouldn't lose the point that woman rang in about the South African position on their vaccination.
Yeah.
It's, you know, even Britain have said that the vaccines that we've got are not really that good against the South African variation. The South Africans haven't actually ordered that many doses of any of the vaccines because they haven't got that much money, as people understand. So I think what as I understood it from the South African medical person who was on the TV over the weekend, what they were saying is that they're stopping it to review the position. They're reviewing the position about over 65s, and they reckon that the new vaccine for the South African variety should be available within 10 days. That was from Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah,
so that sounds logical to me.
Yeah, there was something quite interesting that I read yesterday, a virologist explaining that the problem we have in the Western world is that we are eventually, and hopefully, the vaccination program will roll out and will reach the majority of people. This scientist was saying the problem is the countries that don't do it will allow for the virus to keep existing, and will just shift to other areas, only to return in the future. And it was just advocating for a more equal, vaccination program throughout the world, not just in the worst, in the rich countries.
Rex, I'm going to let you go because I need to get some phone calls in the last 10 minutes. If that's okay with you, sir. But thank you so much for joining us. Any final point to make?
Well, I did have a few other little niggles.
Okay, well, then I'll let you have your niggle. As we're back, I've got 10 minutes, so I'll let you have a couple of niggles, Rex, then. Go on.
Well, I jotted down a few little things. The other thing was, two things. One is that we've got to all try and be a little bit more upbeat, and that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There are a lot of people suffering severe mental health during this ghastly situation that the world is going through. I'm looking forward to having an honest and frank report by the World Health Organization when they've finished with their Chinese detective and forensic work as to how the virus started. And also, I wanted to really try and instill that, you know, however bad it is for you, there's always somebody worse off, and that we should all be mindful that we're all in it together, and it's very, very trying, very testing, and I sincerely hope that we can all look forward with the vaccine program and everything else, and the fact that in the UK the genomic that's being carried out is absolutely crucial to the world health, because we've got more knowledge of genomics than any other country, believe it or not, and that's something also to look forward to. So that's that. The last niggle of the day is, are the EU behaving like big girls' blouses when they're stopping the importation of a British crustacea seafood, when we were in the EU, all the seafood and fish passed through without any problem at all. Nothing's changed. Now, suddenly, the EU have put their hands up and said, there's something wrong with our seafood. It's not clean. It's not pure. The Scottish scampi are no good, et cetera, et cetera.
I will get you back on that point next week, Rex, if that's okay, because
right.
I want to do a whole thing on that particular issue as well. Looking at my pictures live from London, the snow's still coming down across the back of St. Paul's Cathedral. Looks absolutely like a winter wonderland. Rex Leyland, I know you're busy, so thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Giles, and goodbye, everybody, and best of luck with all vaccinations.
Take care. Rex Leyland, live from London.
Oh, I did that and nothing happened.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, let's get these calls in quickly in the last 7 minutes or so. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Jill from Torrox Pueblo. I was a bit late tuning in, and I could not believe the nonsense I was hearing about the word democracy. Actually, I think they need to look it up in the dictionary to see what it really means, because in my opinion, I think that democracy doesn't really exist in the world today. And the other thing, then, we're talking about vaccines. Now, nobody talks about... if you actually have any other illness, you know, like for me, I have autoimmune disease, and so therefore I'm very wary, and I don't hear, you know, when they tell you somebody's died from COVID, I would like a little bit more information as to what other things were they carrying, you know, were they obese or diabetes or et cetera, et cetera. I think we haven't got enough information. I'm 84 years old. I have had quite a lot of experience in the world, and when travelling to other countries, because we worked in other countries, I took the vaccinations then without any hesitation. This was for cholera, tetanus, typhoid, etc., etc. But this one, it's totally unknown, and I am just going to sit back and wait a bit anyway. So, but the guys that were talking about democracy, even referring to Myanmar, as it's now called. I was in Burma for 4.5 years. You have to ask how and look back in history, not take what's happening today. Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call in, Jill. Stay safe.
Yeah, and, I will do, for sure. I'll try and get in touch with you again when I switch on and get slightly annoyed about something.
That's always good to hear. Switch on, get slightly annoyed, call Viewpoint. That should be our advertising slogan. Thanks very much. Going live to the lines again. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you loud and clear, Jason.
I sent a recording in. You didn't play it.
No, because I can't play WhatsApp recordings off this machine. It's driven by small mice working on a treadmill, Jason. Right then.
Well, basically, what I wanted to say, right, I'm not anti-vax. We know that, right? I've had vaccines when I've been younger. I just feel that we've come too far too quickly, and that we have overreached ourselves. And the reason I say this is maybe there's 8 or 10 vaccines in circulation, and 200 more coming through. And the problem is we've administered this at a species level for the first time without the normal check and balance. And at my concerns, I know that nanoparticles exist in fossil fuels, and I know it's been proven that they've migrated to people's brains. That's a fact. They've been found in brains. Whether there's a link to Alzheimer's or dementia, nobody knows yet. Inside the MRSA vaccine, there are also nanoparticles.
Right.
The last place you want a nanoparticle is in your brain, especially anything connected with a vaccine, which naturally induces swelling, right? So this, I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying we just do not know.
Jason.
And we're all running down this rabbit hole as quick as we can, like lemons off a cliff. And the the other side of the argument's been suppressed on all media, on YouTube. You know, the government said it'd do this because they were worried about vaccine hesitancy. But there's also a danger that you stifle discussion and you stifle the other side of the debate, and it's counterproductive because it just galvanises people more when these things are not discussed.
And Jason, I understand that completely, and I know that you brought this up with Stephen Ritson yesterday, and he had a forthright opinion to it. So, but thank you for your call,
it's
Jason.
Like criticism of the TRE, it's a world, you know, it's like a worldwide thing. You know, it's all across all medias. You know, it's a totalitarian road once you start going down that road.
Right, I'm not being totalitarian, Jason, but I've got 2 minutes before the end of the show.
Okay,
thanks very much for those.
Bye-bye.
People's Republic of Giles Brown with a worrying thought. Alf, we're into the... Oh, sorry, got another one in from Jay. We're now a third world country. Rex, live with it. That's reference to the shellfish. Right, Alf, we've got 2 minutes. Your final thoughts about what you've heard.
1 minute for the woman. There will be reports about the people who had underlying conditions, but they're not going to do them now. And they've said, you know, 2-3 years' time, lots more information will be available as to what's happened. So it's almost a look back. And democracy does exist in the world. It's just that it's in different forms, and it's about what you perceive as being the best way or whatever. And I was brought up on the basis of democracy in a kibbutz, which is a commune. Or is that communism? I don't know, but with the best will in the world, democracy is about allowing, you know, the most people their biggest say. And as far as Jason's concerned, he's quite right, but, you know, too far too quickly. But it's the nature of the times we're in. We've got hundreds of thousands of people dying each week. Not each day, but each week. Is it 2 million now, isn't it, in the world? We've got to be quick. The chemical companies have got to be quick. Everybody's got to be quick. And hopefully we can just quell it a bit and then get ourselves back into kilter.
Talking about being quick, Andres, you've got about a minute and 17 for your final thoughts on today's viewpoint.
Very quickly, yeah, democracy does exist. And I can tell you that because I was 9 years old when Franco died, so I'm literally the first generation that lived freedom in Spain, and I respect the Spanish democracy very much because it's brought a lot of good to Spain. And it hurts me when some people now are started questioning that democracy. With regards to what the lady said about the information, I agree with the lady because we should be getting more information with regards to underlying conditions and so on, so people can prepare and so on. And we are getting used now to just looking at the statistics, whether there is the incidents, the rate number, the death toll, we're just looking at figures, but we don't have enough information to actually protect ourselves better. Is that quick enough, Giles?
That's more than quick enough. I want to apologise to Julie because it's third world, it's third country, not third world country. Read the shellfish, of course. My mistake. My thanks to my guest today, Rex Lennon in the UK from his houseboat, Alf Brewer not from his houseboat, but from the Costa Sol. Alf, thanks very much for being back on.
Thank you.
And Andres Gallardo, as always.
Giles, good to have you back.
Thank you very much. This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.